Hello, I'm Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, I welcome you to the second part of Silver Minutes, in which I'll be enjoying some of the wit, inventiveness, and intellect, as well as tricks, lies, and downright barefaced cheek tried on by the many players of Just a Minute over its 25 years. Let's start with the rules, the points of order, and appeals to myself as chairman, expected as I am to combine acute hearing, perfect memory, and the judgmental wisdom of Solomon. There's no mercy for slip-ups, including my own. So, Stephen, you have 29 seconds to tell us something about style, starting now.
Le style, c'est l'homme, somebody said, French, I expect. There was Das Stil, of course, which was an artistic movement of the early 20th century, also known as neoplasticism, of which Mondrian was a leading proponent. Style, however, is also regarded...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Out of Nicholas Parsons' depth.
You speak for yourself.
Can you repeat any of that?
Yes, all those neoplasticism of the 18th century and the sobriquet of Le Style and everything else. I was listening, actually, for hesitation, repetition and deviation.
I had a letter from an old Air Force officer, a gallant gentleman, who had visited her when she was playing in A Little Bit of Fluff at the Criterion Theatre. He was going to France.
Peter Jones,
a chap. A Little Bit of Fluff was at the Ambassador's Theatre.
Ah! How do you know? You see how you say something without confidence.
There's no question about it.
Many people were called sybaritic, including, of course, Cardinal Wolsey, who built that fabulous place on the River Thames, and was always having the chocolate bonbon.
Derek Nimmo's challenge, what?
Repetition of bonbon.
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, bonbon is a hyphenated word. Oh, and if you hyphenate two words, you surely must be doing it to make them into one word.
And he used it in the plural. The second syllable has an S.
We were forced to use words like Ricky.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Forced.
They were forced, isn't they? And they were forced to use bits of the Romans.
I know he said it. But
so that makes one and one makes two, Nick, you see.
I know. But you see, also occasionally, I'm generous because when somebody has only played in the last series once,
I
actually pretend I didn't hear. And
oh,
say
right.
That,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Right. Okay. I thought it was the battery running down.
Short notice. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, the shortest notice I remember seeing was in Diggs, hanging on the chain in the bathroom, and it said, pull slowly and hold down. But I didn't ever dare to pull it with a...
Tony Hawkes' challenge.
Repetition of pull it.
That's right.
Yes,
you
right.
Pulled it too often.
Yes.
Tony, you have 41 seconds to tell us something about short notice starting now.
Well, I have just been asked by the very charming host of this program...
Paul Merton challenge.
I know deviation. He's not charming at all.
Take a point away from Paul Merton. No, I wouldn't ever do that. Tony, another point and 36 seconds on short notice starting now.
My, you are being deeply, deeply kind to...
And Paul Merton... You got carried away, didn't you? You can't do that in just a minute. 33 seconds, short notice starting now.
2 pints, please, milkman, is the shortest notice I've ever seen, which is someone...
Peter Jones challenged.
1 pint would be short.
Sometimes I don't get involved at all, as the players of the game launch into pitch battles with each other, or simply make it easy for everyone and shoot themselves in both feet. And the subject is Sybaris. Can you talk to us about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
People say if someone's enjoying all this richness, they say oh, lackaday! Oh, rue and woe is me! I was tripped up by my diction.
What I was really sad about was when the 10-shilling note went out of operation, because there was something awfully nice about handing a dorm a 10
Who? Yes. Never mind. It doesn't matter. We've already said.
I like writing on walls. It's a habit. It's a habit. I was about to correct my mispronunciation of Hobby.
I know you were. It was very bad luck, and as you were under great pressure...
You treated me very shobbily. Very shobbily indeed.
I am not going to sulk and hide my head and experience umbrage because I feel it is a despicable way to carry on and makes not for progress. However, a lot of children are inclined to do this when they feel sulky, and I say to them, life is too short to feel like that, my darling. Do not feel angry. What a relief.
Well, I was bored.
So was I.
Matches. Will you tell us something about those in this game starting now?
If you look at the ordinary matchbox, you'll see written on the side something like average contents 54. Sometimes it will...
Tony Snatchery got in.
A bit of a hesitation.
Yeah, a definite hesitation.
I was wandering down a huge area of repetition, I suddenly realised.
Yes. Tony, you have 52 seconds to tell us something about matches starting now.
Sometimes the content can be 32 matches. Sometimes it can be... Oh, my God! That's dreadful! I do apologise for being...
You don't apologise.
I do apologise for being crap. But I'm getting the hang of it.
It's a bit late. It's a bit late in your life to suddenly start apologising. That's right, yes. Good point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul has his hair done at B&Q.
Clement, you have a
correct... At least I don't buy my shirts at Colourblind R Us.
This from a man who's wearing one of Wincy Willis's jogging outfits.
It's all in the best of good humour, of course. In 25 years of playing the game, our panellists have been known once or twice to agree with each other. And occasionally someone makes it to the 60-second finishing line without a murmur from his colleagues. And, of course, flattering the chairman does help things along tremendously.
I get up every morning and I try to say to myself, today is going to be the best day of my...
Oh, bad luck, Kenny.
Well, it was 2 days.
I know, yes.
Today, I said.
Today is going to be the best day. Oh, I see what you mean. Today is different today. Oh, you're right. Oh, I'm ever so sorry. Oh, you're absolutely right. Oh, I withdraw the challenge. I withdraw it.
So I must give it to him and tell him he has 10 seconds for Eugene.
10 seconds? You notice that? He's going to gain on 10 seconds. Everyone can fill in with 10 rotten seconds, can't they? Yes. Choosing that stare on me, an old trooper.
Listen, Kenneth, there are 26 seconds left for you, Peter Jones, to tell us something about censorship as you see it starting now.
Well, of course, I don't believe there should be any censorship at all, unless you could find exactly the right person to be the censor. Now, modesty forbids me...
I'm a point challenge.
I agree with Peter Jones.
So, what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
I think he deserves a point.
See how generous they can be on occasions. And 18 seconds left starting now.
Because I think I could be a wonderful censor. Ship.
Former challenge again.
I think he'd be a very good censor.
Yes. What is your challenge? You agree again?
Yep.
You're not going to have him for hesitation on the ship?
Oh, no, no.
So he's given you another point.
Well, it's very good.
Kenneth, we're back with you. Would you take the subject of emperors and tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Many names spring to mind. I would mention Hadrian and Marcus Aurelius. Perhaps Elagabalus is an interesting example. He arrived in Rome, you know, on a dray and had a lot of makeup on. The senators are reputed to have made representations and indignant noises about this, but he held full way, and filled every post far and wide. Gaul, Britain, Minorca, Majorca, all with posts with his favourite in charge. And I don't blame him, because, I mean, after all, if you've got a bit of authority, you might as well splash it about and say, well, I'll have a good time. Only here for a short while. Might as well enjoy it while we can. And I think, when I look back on my own life, ah, yes, Acton's dictum, all power corrupts, that is true.
So, Kenneth, you get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for managing to keep going for the full 60 seconds. And you're still in fourth place. Stephen, I'm not going to allow that.
Well, you're an old sweetie.
So, in because you're interrupted.
Thank you.
And
nobody's ever called him that before.
No. You have 49 seconds to tell us something about BBC Radio, Wendy, starting now.
I have had the good fortune to work for BBC Radio on several occasions. I always enjoy this as I see my dear friend Nicholas Parsons. A pleasure to see any of them.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Afraid repetition of C.
Mm.
Yes.
What a hideous sycophancy, I mean.
This is coming good from somebody called Nicholas Sweetie earlier.
That's a bad truth. Something nice about you.
Paul, you had a correct challenge, another point. 34 seconds. BBC Radio starting now.
The BBC Radio Light Entertainment Department has a long and glorious history. If we go back to the 1940s, we can recall such shows as Bandwagon.
Wendy challenged.
That's the only
hesitation.
One I could recall.
Yes. 23.
Igmar was the one I was trying to think of.
Oh, yes. And Much Binding in the Marsh.
It's no good to me now, is it, sweetie?
Twenty-three seconds for you, Wendy, on BBC Radio, starting now.
I have done several plays for BBC.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Repetition of Dumb.
I've only just started.
Wendy, if you really
I'd
did this...
It's all right, sweetie, don't worry.
21 seconds, Derek, on BBC Radio, starting now.
The guy writer in charge of BBC Radio is one David Hatch, who was the first person to direct this particular programme many years ago, when he also performed in a very well-known wireless programme. I'm sorry, I'll do that again.
Stephen Fry.
He said direct this programme and then a very well-known wireless programme.
What's wrong with that?
Wireless programme.
Programme, yes,
said it twice. Programme.
Too many
programmes. I think
programs.
You're allowed to repeat words, yes. Derek. I think that's
absolutely
a clue.
Yes. Too many programmes, right. BBC Radio is with you, Stephen. 8 seconds left, starting now.
Of course, the original Gauleiter of the BBC was David.
Imitation.
Yeah.
Very bad one.
So he was deviating from his normal voice.
And incoherent, yes. Deviation.
5 seconds for you to tell us something about BBC Radio, starting now.
The 1950s saw such...
Stephen Fry.
And it's repetition 19. He was talking about the 1940s.
Yes, you talked about the 1940s for the before. Now you've got the 1950s, so that is repetition 19.
Extraordinary decision, sweetie.
He's a honey puddle, isn't he?
I'll never survive this. I really won't. There are 2 seconds for you, darling, on BBC Radio, starting now. And Derek Nimmer challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, but I do think you're way out in the lead, Derek. I think we can allow it.
I don't think Stephen Fry requires pity.
I'm just wishing to gain
it's
confidence.
It's all favouritism tonight, isn't it?
No, no.
Ever since Stephen called him sweetie, you know.
The regular players have often noted that the game is not a good medium for telling jokes or humorous stories. There are exceptions, and of course you're winning if you can get the others to want to wait for the punchline, even if you never actually had one. Derek, you have the subject and a point in 17 seconds on Capability Brown, starting now.
He was very lucky, I think, to find himself during his formative years working at the Great Garden in Stowe under William Kent. The first time he was able to make a hard ditto, if you see what I mean, because you can't say the second word.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
I don't think he should be allowed to say ditto.
Quite right. Yes. Very good point.
Well done. Once again, got in with 1.5 seconds to go, starting now.
His brother was Inability Brown.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, I'm glad you got it.
He cultivated window boxes.
There are 19 seconds left on where the money goes, starting now.
There's not much doubt but that we are in a period of great inflation. And as a farmer said to me the other day, apples are going up. To which I replied, this would come as a severe blow to Sir Isaac Newton. He spent so much of his life determining...
47 seconds. Burglars, Paul, starting now.
About a year ago, I had a burglar. I was lucky. I disturbed him. I said, there is no God.
So, let's go to Barry Cryer now. The subject is what I wrote on a wall. Starting now.
It is a relaxation, a cause of solace to me. I write at my convenience, which is the most suitable place for it. On the wall, Nellie Melba is the toast of the town, and just underneath that, I inscribed, I love grills. Returning the following day, somebody had written underneath, you mean girls, you fool, and returning the following day, somebody else had written, no, he doesn't, what about us, grills. The other thing I
I'm afraid halfway through the joke you were challenged. I let it go because I wanted to hear the payoff.
Well, that's very nice.
At least I knew the payoff. I wanted the audience to hear the payoff.
Well, let's hear the payoff.
Clement Freud, you actually challenged to time back. What was your challenge?
A repetition of returning.
The word was not returned on each occasion. There was a return, a returned, and a returning.
No, 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 returning.
And I wish to state quite categorically that that's an utter lie on my part.
Well,
it's
about
it's all right, I know it was
back.
A lie, and, but it was... I remember he did return to his convenience three times very rapidly.
I'm not a regular member of the programme.
Standing in the boiling water. Anyway, Clement Freud, you have 32 seconds on what I wrote on a wall, starting now.
As I have never done that sort of thing and disapprove very much of obscenic authors in particular, it seems to me that the best thing I can do is sing a short
Barry
song.
Barry Cryer has challenged you.
I would challenge the definition of the word obscenic.
So would I, but I wouldn't be able to answer it.
It's... a deviation to challenge the inclusion of a non-existent word.
What about obscenic? Do you think that's a good word?
It's there.
It's there. Oh, so I'm sorry. Your master's ruled you out.
What's the difference between obscene and obscenic? Nick. I suppose.
Good.
Peter, you don't say much when you have the subject, but what you say when you haven't is well worth every moment of it. Clement Freud has another point, and he has 8 seconds on what I wrote on a wall, starting now.
I did approach this wall and write upon it the word gap.
Derek Mimmo, would you begin the next round? The subject following that one is what I read on a wall. Would you like to tell us something about that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
I remember a wall in Yugoslavia that had something on it. We went, Agli Jovombang, Leje Venagantini.
It became incoherent. I happen to speak perfect Yugoslavian. And I know that he stumbled over the second syllable.
For that, I definitely award you a point for a correct challenge, and you have 45 seconds, Peter, on what I have read on a wall, starting now.
Well, the door of this toilet was about 9 inches off the floor, and it said on the wall, beware of the limbo dancers.
Challenge.
Well, actually, a deviation, because he said he read it on the door. He didn't read it on the wall.
I don't mind where he read it. He deserves the point. And he gets a point for a wrong challenge, and he carries on with 25 seconds on what I read on the wall, Peter, starting now.
And in another place, I saw on the wall, the Romans came to Shrewsbury in 54 A.D., and damn all has happened since. And it was signed by an American serviceman who gave his number.
Paul, the subject is burps. Will you tell us something about that?
without demonstrating, hopefully, starting now.
A burp is an exhalation of wind. In this country, it is not a particularly nice thing to do. It reminds me of a story of this party that's going on, and suddenly one of the guests burps, and the host turns to him and he says, "How dare you burp before my wife?" And he says, "I'm terribly sorry, I didn't know it was her turn." Burping is generally considered rude and ill-mannered. Most people would apologise when they do burp.
And Derek Nimmo Chance.
Well, I let him get the joke, but he has done a lot of singular burps, and it's really
the subject is burps, and you give us a couple of singular burps.
Derek's there is one thing worse than a burp. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Well, that was the original version of that joke, in fact.
No, the story I know about that is when the Queen was in a carriage on a state occasion and she was riding along with some sultan from Brunei or somewhere, and the horse in front let off an incredible exhalation of wind from his rear quarters, and Her Majesty was very embarrassed and said, "Oh, I do apologise," and the sultan said, "It's quite all right. If you hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have known." It's very often everything but the topic to be spoken on which forms the entertainment of the game. But then, unexpectedly, the subject itself will suddenly prove extremely fertile, or throw up one of the greatest pleasures we all have in just a minute, a running joke. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is moon dust. Can you talk on moon dust for just a minute, starting now?
What's happened to it? We haven't heard anything in the newspapers, on the radio or television about this substance which caused so much trouble and expense and the time they took getting it and bringing it back in the capsule, and then it was advertised as being sent to various universities all over the world, studied in laboratories by scientists, and I hoped that there would be some advantage to the human race in all this fuss and guffawful that went on. But as far as I'm concerned, nothing has happened. The quality of the bread has steadily got worse. It still takes ages to get from Oxford Circus to Piccadilly. And why don't they do something about it?
Derek Nimmo's chance.
Eviation, I think it was ever expected that moon dust would improve the underground system.
I think he made his point that such a wonderful discovery could really change our lives, and it's had little effect on Peter Jones's. So, Peter, you keep going with 13 seconds on moon dust, starting now.
I'd like them to start analysing it and really finding out...
Dennis Williams.
The deviation. He's told us they've gone to 100 universities and laboratories, so obviously they are analysing it.
Well done, Kenneth. It was a correct challenge, and Kenneth has 9 seconds on moon dust, starting now.
This is sprinkled in order to kill the wild elephants. Now, the only way to do it...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, it isn't. It's absolute rubbish. Of course it isn't.
No, you don't sprinkle it to kill the wild elephants.
Not allowed to kill wild elephants, anyway.
Peter, you have another point, and you have 4.5 seconds to continue on moon dust, starting now.
If they really worked at it, these people...
Derek Nimmo, chap.
Revolution of worked.
He did say worked before, so you have a point, and you have 1.5 seconds on moon dust, starting now.
Well, I would put the moon dust in a little dustbin and sweep it under them.
And, Paul, you've got in with 33 seconds on First Baron George Jeffreys, starting now.
Whenever I think of the First Baron George...
Tony Hawk's chance.
I'm buzzing because he's actually saying that very slowly because he knows nothing about the First Baron.
You're probably completely right, but he didn't actually hesitate. And there are 29 seconds on First Baron George Jeffreys, starting now.
First Baron George Jeffreys was a pub round...
Peter Jones challenge.
He said that already.
Very slowly. Yes, he said that. That's the subject on the card. You can repeat the subject on the card. I know you've only been playing the game for 25 years. And sometimes things do slip your memory, I realise.
Thank God it's merciful in that way.
And
And you still continue, Paul, with another point. 24 seconds, first Baron George Jeffreys, starting now.
First Baron George Jeffreys.
And Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He's speaking much more quickly. Yeah.
Right. As I know, I will give Clement a bonus because I gave it to Paul when he was interrupted. Another point for interrupting Paul Merton to him. Paul gets another point, and he continues on that subject.
Hang on, I don't get any points, and I thought of this idea first.
A point to Tony Hawk, because he hasn't played before, and he thought of it. And a point for Peter because of that lovely remark he made at the last round. So they've both all got points now, and Paul Merton continues with 22 seconds on first Baron George Jeffreys starting up.
He was, of course, known as the Hanging Judge, and it's a kind of indication of the brutality of the age in which he lived that he is still remembered by people even today. It must have been an extraordinary experience to find yourself facing first Baron George Jeffreys in the dock, and you'd look up at those cold blue eyes and realise that even...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hazel, actually. Yes.
And you were there at the time to be...
No, but he happens to have been Baron of Wem, and that's the town in Shropshire that I actually was born and brought up in. So I do know what I'm talking about.
Well, according to my mother, he was one of her ancestors, and she said that he had brown eyes.
Brown, hazel, schmazel.
All right, let the audience judge.
What colour Judge Jeffreys are?
That is the whole point.
It's your responsibility as a chairman.
Anyway,
I'm opting out of the responsibility because I don't know what the colour of his eyes were.
Well, Paul did say cold blue eyes. So hazel eyes, when they're cold, do go a little bit blue, apparently.
Oh, why do you want to make a...
Especially if you're wearing contact lenses as well. Yeah.
Judge Jeffreys always wore contact lenses.
Well, you've just decided he's got hazel eyes, haven't you?
No, that's the whole point. I didn't decide. The audience decided.
No, your mother decided.
She's going to be very upset, isn't she?
She's probably up in heaven with Judge Jeffreys or down in hell trying to find out where he is.
Oh, I didn't realise that. What bad taste. I had no idea. You shouldn't have brought her into it at all. I haven't brought my mother into it. She's passed away also.
To be honest, I wish I'd never mentioned his eyes.
Why, you were just trying to eke it out of me. Make it dramatic.
Well, I think we'll get back to playing just a minute. And
right.
Peter, you have half a second.
Half a second, oh, yes.
Half a second with hazel eyes of Judge Jeffreys starting now.
Bloody Judge Jeffreys.
A lot of points were scored in that round. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is fair. You can take that any way you like, you know, in just a minute. And you start now.
First Baron George Jeffreys had very fair hair. He was known as the Blondie Judge.
I do hope you've enjoyed Silver Minutes and are looking forward as much as I am to the next 25 years. For now, from all our guests... Researcher Mark Lewison, the creator of the game Ian Messiter, producer Sarah Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. Goodbye until the next time we play Just a Minute, providing I can survive the onslaught. 44 seconds are left on dogs. With you, Derek, starting now.
What I would like to introduce are lavatories for dogs. I hate walking along the pavement.
I don't want to hear this. It's a family show. I don't want to hear that dog in blues. I think it's a disgrace. I should have the subject back. Deviation. You're all with me, aren't you? Yes, I should. And I should be the chairman as well, you know. Because it wants moving on, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, but if you were the chairman, then you wouldn't have anybody else speak.
It would be lovely. It'd be one name. Yes.